You may be seated. Dearly beloved, Morgan and Josiah, we're assembled here in the presence of God to join this man and this woman in holy marriage. The bond and covenant of marriage was established by God in creation, and our Lord Jesus Christ adorned this manner of life by his presence and first miracle at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. It signifies to us the mystery of the union between Christ and his church, and Holy Scripture commends it to be honored among all people. The union of husband and wife in heart, body, and mind is intended by God for their mutual joy, for the help and comfort given one another in prosperity and adversity, and when it is God's will, for the procreation of children and their nurture in the knowledge and love of the Lord. Josiah and Morgan also realize that marriage consists not simply or even primarily of a personal relationship. Rather, it crystallizes the love of the larger church community. The couple is not just two in one, but two together within the whole, with specific responsibility for the whole. They must persevere in love, because the community needs to see God's love actualized among God's people. God does not simply give it to the married people of the church, but to the whole church, just as marriage is designed not only for the benefit of the married couple, it is designed to tell a story to the entire church, a story about God's own love and fidelity to us. That is our invitation today. As I did premarital counseling with Josiah and Morgan, it was clear that community is very important to them. That's why you all are valuable to them and why you're here today, a part of this. They are too, as a part of the whole. Now I'm going to ask you guys of your declaration of intent, your intent to marry one another. Well, Josiah, we'll start with you. Josiah, is it your intention to marry Morgan, to live together in holy marriage? Will you give yourself to her in love and honor, duty and service, faithfulness and tenderness, plenty, want, joy, and in sorrow, to live with her and cherish her in the ordinance of God and the holy bond of marriage? If so, answer, I will. And Morgan, is it your intention to marry Josiah, to live together in holy marriage, and will you give yourself to him in love and honor, in duty and service, faithfulness and tenderness, in plenty and in want, joy and in sorrow, to live with him and cherish him in the ordinance of God and the holy bond of marriage? If so, answer, I will. Parents, I'll ask you to stand. You guys, good job. Therefore, today, as we join this couple in marriage, we acknowledge that throughout their lives, they have been loved and cared for by you, the community, but also their parents, depending on you for sustenance and knowledge, guidance and love, being assured that their love and choice of each other as lifelong companions is in God's will. So the bride and groom, Josiah and Morgan, want to ask for your blessing. We'll start with you guys. Lisa and Andrew, do you give your blessing to this couple as they join together in holy matrimony?
We do.
Lisa and Greg, do you give your blessing to this couple as they join together in holy matrimony? At this time, Morgan and Josiah would like for us to join in song together as we seek to praise God for this time together. You'll find the lyrics in your bulletin, so let's stand and sing.
By faith we see the hand of God in the light of creation's grand design, in the lives of those who prove his faithfulness, who walk by faith and not by sight. with the power of His promise in their hearts, of a holy city built by God's own hand, a place where peace and justice reign. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on Him, our soul's reward, till the race is finished and the work is done. We'll walk by faith and not by sight. By faith the prophet saw a day when the longed for Messiah would appear, with the power to break the chains of sin and death, and rise triumphant from the grave. By faith the church was called to go, and the power of the Spirit to the lost, to deliver captives and to preach good news in every corner of the earth. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on Him, our soul's reward, till the race is finished and the work is done. We'll walk by faith and not by sight. By faith this mountain shall be moved, and the power of the gospel shall prevail. For we know in Christ all things are possible to all who call upon His name. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on Him, our soul's reward, till the race is finished and the work is done. We'll walk by faith and not by sight.
Hello? Oh, it's on. Romans 5, 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son while we were still His enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God.
Amen. Thank you, Cassie. Thank you all for being here today. As you've already heard from Josiah or from Addison earlier, Josiah Morgan, really value community. And for various reasons, you all are part of their community, and they are so glad to celebrate this day with you. But even more so, as we just sang about, to walk by faith and to celebrate this day before the Lord and to hear from Him, His Word, friends with God. It's really amazing to think about, and we want to take a minute just to reflect on that. It's a privilege to be able to share some thoughts. Josiah's like, Dad, you've always been sharing thoughts with me, so why stop now, right? One of the folks in my own life that's always had a word of wisdom is a friend by the name of Steve Garber, and he recently was reflecting on his own marriage and anniversary, and he said this: if I were going to sum up advice for marriage, it would be this: to take delight and to give grace. Take delight and give grace. A long time ago, I was asked by a young man what I thought made for a good marriage. These are his words. Those weeks of my life, I was immersed in the heartaches of friends who were stumbling badly in their marriage. And so the question had sort of a rawness to it, a knife's edge. And my mind went ranging over what I thought about the meaning of marriage. And I finally told him that I thought good marriages, healthy marriages, ones which were more happy than not for both husband and wife, were ones in which the choice was made to take delight and to give grace day by day by day by day. And so I want to use that just to frame some thoughts for you today and then bring in the scriptures to that and hopefully encourage you as you go out into the adventure that God has you on. But then also, too, you know, mindful of the fact that there are folks that will be married someday, are already married, have been walking that marriage route for a long time. These are God's words and the idea of taking delight and giving grace. And so here's how I was thinking about it. Morgan, you are many, many things, right? And your parents can attest to that. You are a joy. You walk in the room. You know, even this morning, you're hooping and hollering as we're taking pictures. It's just one of the wonderful things. There's an effervescence about you that just draws people in. I remember when Josiah was first telling us that he was kind of interested in this girl, Morgan, he said, well, she's kind of crazy, but she talks constantly, and I was like, more than you, that's really interesting. So there was a natural match there. But you are athletic, you like to run, you know, all sorts of different things, you know, coffee, friends, that's speaking your love language, right? But then there's photography. You love to take pictures, and you love to create artistically. And as I was thinking about taking delight and giving grace, I was thinking about just the role that a photographer takes or plays in taking delight. I mean, it's finding just that picture and framing it right and bringing out the beauty that is already there. You're not creating the beauty. But as the photographer, you're bringing out the beauty that is already there. And it's a great way to think about this idea of taking delight. And this is for both of you, right? Each of you brings so much to this union. And your job, your calling, the invitation to you as you enter into marriage is to take delight, is to frame the other person in such a way that all of their beauty, all of their strengths, all of the good things about them come out in into your life together, obviously, but also into the world. You guys are on an adventure, right? God is taking you to Costa Rica in 10 days. You're not only going to be a newly married couple, but you're going to be in this new culture, in a new world, with, you know, a language that you're semi-familiar with, but need to grow in. So there's going to be lots. But taking delight in the things that you see around you, taking delight in God's creation, taking delight in the relationships that you have. And as a couple especially, you know, it's so easy to only see the things that bug us about the other person, right? We'll get to giving grace in a minute. But take delight in the things, you know, Morgan does some things that you'll never do. You know, she has a boldness about her in new situations. Take delight in that. Encourage that. You know, he does some things that you'll never do. Take delight in those ways in which you really do compliment one another. It is a gift that God has given each one of you. There's one other thing that I'll say, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I think, you know, as we think about weddings, you never know. You're going to take these vows, you know, richer and poorer, sickness and health. I mean, there is no guarantee because you love the Lord and because you're going on mission or any of these things that life is going to go swimmingly for you. There's no guarantee. But, you know, the scriptures also say, take joy when you suffer afflictions of many kinds. And learning even that secret of taking delight when times are difficult, you know, you can see why Steve says this is the key to a good marriage, you know, learning how to take delight one with another. And then there's the other side of it, you know, give grace, because we have these things that we celebrate about one another, and you know, in our best days, we can take delight in those things. But then there's also the give grace moments. And as I was thinking about framing this and a move from photography to something that you love, and you love a lot of things. I mean, this you obviously love people. You know, just even testimony from some of your friends, you know, this weekend. Never really had a friend like Josiah. He's the guy that will call you when you haven't heard from him in a couple of months. And there's just a loyalty to you as an individual that really stands out and blesses people. He loves to read. An English major. You don't always think about that, but there is that side of him, which makes his mother very happy as she strove to. No, but you like to read sports. You've always been a ball. Did not like trains, trucks, any of that stuff. Give me a ball. And, you know, to your great joy, you've got some intramural championships, right, to show for that in college. Everything from wiffle ball to basketball to volleyball. But you love basketball. You've played it. You've coached it. All of these things, and it's wonderful to score. I mean, but anybody can do that. I mean, that's relatively easy. What's really great is when you use your blazing speed. That was a joke. when you use your blazing speed to beat the defense, draw them all to yourself, and just the well-timed pass that allows a teammate to score. That's grace, right? That back cut, pass right on the money, grace right there for them. And that's what you need to do for each other as you live throughout life. Because there, you know, with things that we take delight in, but then there are the messes on the floor. There is whatever is living in your truck right now. There are all sorts of things in there, and you're going to have to navigate these things. You know, you're going to have to navigate the lapses in communication. You're going to have to navigate the times when you forget to call and let her know where you are, or you forget to tell him what's all going on inside of you emotionally, maybe because you're not sure yourself at that moment. But there are going to be moments where you have to give grace to one another. And that's just such a beautiful thing about a relationship, is that we can take delight and give grace. And when we have that combination, right, you can see how a marriage can last. If you don't have that, if you're not able to give grace where it's needed and to overlook those things and to not dwell on them and to not think about them and to not bring them up again later on down the road, it's going to be very difficult. And I think everybody in here that's married can probably say amen. So how are you going to do it? I mean, that's the question. You guys are pretty awesome, but you all both have flaws, and you both are limited in your own ability to take delight and give grace. And I, to me, that's always the question. Like, you know, it's easy to see what to do, but how? How am I going to do it? Let me tell you a story. It's a story of God and his people. The prophet Isaiah tells it, and he says about his people, and this is a prophet that sent to a recalcitrant, you know, he's sent to a difficult people who are not following him. He says, the nations are going to see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that my mouth will give you. That's grace, isn't it? You know, when God looks out at a disobedient people and he says, the nations are going to see your righteousness, you know, the kings your glory, and you're going to be called by a new name that I will give you. That is God's grace. And we see this played out throughout the story of the scriptures. You know, Jesus Christ came into the world in order to take away all of our difficulty, to take away all of our obstinance and all of our rebellion that lives in our hearts, and to give us a new name. He has given you so much grace. So we begin to get the picture, like how are you going to do this? Well, you have a chance if you're united to Jesus. You know, if it's Jesus that is living out through you, if it's the grace that he has given you that begins to flow out to one another, that's when you begin to get the power. And he goes on, and the prophet says this. He says this about a stiff-necked people, right? Disobedient, rebellious, all of these things. He says, you shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land no more termed desolate, but you shall be called, my delight is in you, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land, the peoples of the land, will be married. So not only has God given you grace, and sometimes, you know, even as good Christians in the church, we feel like, yeah, God forgives me, but he doesn't really like me. And what the scriptures tell us here is that, no, actually, God forgives you because he delights in you. And there we begin to see, okay, this is possible. It is impossible in and of ourselves, but it's possible with a God who has poured out his grace upon us and has set his delight upon you. So how do you love Josiah? Because you know that God is delighting in you, and you can share that. You become a vessel for God's delight. How are you going to love Morgan? You become a vessel for God's delight in you to flow to her. Jonathan Edwards, who was an 18th century theologian, some have said he's one of the brightest minds that America has ever produced. And he was a preacher, loved the Lord. He says this, and think about this. I know it's your wedding day. I'll send you this quote later on. Think about this. He says, the creation of the world seems to have been especially for this end, that the eternal Son of God might obtain a spouse towards whom he might fully exercise the infinite benevolence of his nature, and to whom he might, as it were, open and air forth all of that immense fountain of condescension, love, and grace that was in his heart. As we come to marriage, we get a picture of Christ's marriage to us. And his delight is so great that he came to earth specifically to obtain a spouse that he could pour all of his love and grace into day after day. And that's your secret. That's your power. And that's for all of us. You know, how are you going to go home today and love your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your friend, your parents? You know, it is when God pours his love into us and we receive it in humility, acknowledging that we don't deserve it. That's when we know, right? And I know for you, this is what you're starting out with. This is what you're basing it on. You're saying, God, we need you. That's why we're here today, and we want to experience that. And I know nothing would give you greater joy than for every single person in this auditorium today to share that. There is such an immense blessing with our Lord, somebody who loves us so, so much. And you get a chance to show us day by day what that looks like. So let me have you hand your bouquet to your dear sister. Take this dude in your hands. Josiah Morgan, having stated your intent to be married and having been instructed from God's word concerning marriage, I'd ask you to repeat these vows after me. I, Josiah, take you, Morgan, to be my wedded wife.
To be my wedded wife.
And I do promise and covenant.
And I do promise and covenant.
Before God and these witnesses.
Before God and these witnesses.
To be your loving and faithful husband.
To be your loving and faithful husband.
In plenty and in want.
In plenty and in want.
In joy and in sorrow.
In joy and in sorrow.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
All that I am, I give to you. All that I have, I share with you.
All that I have, I share with you.
As long as we both shall live.
As long as we both shall live.
Morgan, are you ready?
Kinda.
I, Morgan, take you, Josiah.
I, Morgan, take you, Josiah.
To be my wedded husband.
To be my wedded husband.
And I do promise and covenant.
I do promise and covenant.
Before God and these witnesses.
To be your loving and faithful wife.
In plenty and in want.
In joy and in sorrow.
In sickness and in health.
All that I am, I give to you.
All that I have, I share with you.
As long as we both shall live.
We have a couple of symbols here. They are pretty traditional symbols. The ring, you know, apparently the Egyptians started this ceremony. The ring finger on your left hand supposedly is the vein that runs straight to your heart. Somebody more medical than I can confirm or deny. Dr. LaFleur is saying no. It sounded good though, right?
Yeah, so.
But what they are is they're precious metals. They're circular. They're infinite. You can sit and trace the ring all day long, and you will never come to its end. And so, too, is your love for one another. So, Josiah, take this ring. Repeat after me. Morgan, I give you this ring.
Morgan, I give you this ring.
As a token and pledge.
As a token and pledge.
Of my constant faithfulness.
Of my constant faithfulness.
And abiding love. Morgan, Likewise, Josiah, I give you this ring. Josiah,
I give you this ring.
As a token and pledge.
As a token and pledge.
Of my constant faithfulness.
Of my constant faithfulness.
And abiding love.
And abiding love.
Because Josiah and Morgan have exchanged their vows before God and these witnesses, they've pledged their commitment to one another. By the authority committed to me by the Church of Christ, gives me great pleasure to declare that Josiah and Morgan are now husband and wife according to the ordinance of God, the law of the state, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. You may kiss your bride. We've already this morning heard about a couple of things. One is community and the importance of marriage for the community. And secondly is the importance of depending upon God for our help, for our strength as we go forward. And so we want to have a time of community prayer. But just to crystallize that, let me read to you a quote from Wendell Berry, who I think really... like I said, crystallizes the importance of the community prayer. Lovers must not, like usurers, live for themselves alone, but they must finally turn their gaze at one another back toward the community. If they only had themselves to consider, lovers would not really need to marry. But we are thinking of others and of other things. They say their vows to the community as much as they do to one another. And the community gathers around them to hear and to wish them well on their behalf, and then think about this, as well as on its own behalf. It gathers around them, the community does, because it understands how necessary, joyful, and how fearful this joining is. These lovers pledging themselves to one another until death are giving themselves away, and they are joined by this as no law or contract could simply join them. Lovers then die into their union with one another as a soul dies into its union with God. And so here, at the very heart of community life, we find something not that we're trying to sell, as in the public market, but we find this momentous giving. And if the community cannot protect this giving, it can protect nothing. I think those are really challenging words for us as we're here. It's not just a party, it's not just a celebration, but it is a contract with us all to come around this couple and protect them. So I'm going to invite you to take a couple steps down into the middle, your wedding party to come around, parents, really anybody that would like to come around and bless them, extend your hearts to them, extend your hands to them. There's a microphone here in the front. There is a microphone there in the front. If you would like to pray for them during this time, I welcome you to do so. But let's pray, and I will close us.
We thank you so much for today, and what a blessing it is, and what a beautiful union it is. We have two beautiful people here, and I think it will be a beautiful life we'll have together. We pray that you would bless them in their time getting to know each other through marriage, and getting to know each other through moving to Costa Rica. We pray that you would just be through them strongly throughout their entire lives. I know they're both have a deep relationship with you, and we pray that you would help continue that and deepen it through their relationship together. I know they'll both challenge each other, which is awesome. And we pray that you would help that deepen their faith.
Heavenly Father, Thank you so much for your hand of faithfulness in the lives of Morgan and Josiah. And thank you for their precious union. And as I go out today, and as I go out for the rest of their life, I just pray that you will be their source of identity and their source of joy and their source of mission. And yeah, we love them and we love you, Lord.
Father, we thank you for today and for Morgan and Josiah. And God, we just know that you divinely brought these two together, that you directed their paths together. And so God, we just ask for your blessing upon this marriage and upon just their yes to give you their lives, Lord, as they pursue you wholeheartedly together. We ask that you would honor that, God. I just want to pray Proverbs 16:9 over them, God, where it says we can make our plans, but you establish our steps, God. And we already see that in Morgan and Josiah's lives, how they didn't plan, they couldn't have planned for this to happen, God, but it was completely just your hand guiding their steps. And so, God, we ask that you would continue to guide them, fill them just with wisdom and protection and peace and provision and joy as they head out onto the mission field, and that just the rest of their lives would be a mission to bring you glory, God. We bless them in your name.
We are grateful, Heavenly Father, for this day, for this joyful occasion. We acknowledge that it is but a manifestation of your goodness to us. And we pray, gracious Lord, that you will be with Josiah and Morgan all the days of their life. But we pray also, Lord, that you would be the center of their marriage, that they may give thanks each day for our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Watch over each, we ask, for Christ's sake.
You have established marriage for the welfare and happiness of mankind. This was your plan, and only with you can we work it out with joy. You've said it's not good for man to be alone. I have a helpmate for him. Now their joys are doubled, since the happiness of one is the happiness of the other. Their burdens are now halved, since when they share them, they divide the load. Bless this husband. Bless him as the provider of food and clothes, and sustain him in all the exactions and pressures of his battle for bread. May his strength be her protection, his character be her boast and pride. May he so live that she may find in him the haven for which the heart of a woman truly longs. May his soul be so wide a sea that she may launch her all on its strong side. Bless this loving wife, give her a tenderness that makes her great, a deep sense of understanding and a great faith in you. Give her the inner beauty of soul that never fades, that eternal youth that is found in holding fast to the things that never age. May she so live that he may be pleased to serve all the days of his life. May they never make the mistake of merely living for each other. Teach them that marriage is not living for each other, but rather it is two uniting and joining hands to serve you. Give them a spiritual purpose in life. May they seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the other things will be added to them. Loving you best, may they love each other the more, and faithful to you, be faithful to each other. May they not in their days expect that perfection of each other that belongs alone to you. May they minimize each other's weaknesses, give grace, be swift to praise and magnify each other's points of comeliness and strength, take delight, and see each other through a lover's kind and patient eyes. Give them a little something to forgive each day that they may grow in the grace of long-suffering and of love, and may they be as forbearing with each other's omissions and commissions as you have been with theirs and with ours. And now, Lord, we pray that you would make such assignments to them on the scroll of your will as will bless them, as will develop their characters as they walk together with you. Give them enough tears to keep them tender, enough hurts to keep them humane, enough of failure to keep their hands clenched tightly in yours, and enough of success to make them know that they walk with you, their God. May they never take each other's love for granted, but always experience that breathless wonder that exclaims, "Out of all of this world, you have chosen me." And then when life is done and sun is setting, may they be found then and now, still hand in hand, still very proud, still thanking God so much for each other. May they serve you happily, faithfully, until together, until at last one shall lay the others in God's arms. This we ask through Jesus Christ, the great lover of our souls. And all God's people said together, Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand and sing of that great feast that we have, the marriage supper of the Lord. We will feast in the house of Zion. Let's stand and sing. Receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This day, tomorrow, the rest of this week, and forevermore. Amen. Well, here they are, for the first time in public, Mr. and Mrs. Josiah Vandermas. To take your seats, Josiah and Morgan are going to come back in and usher you out. From that point, if you want to linger in the lobby or just outside, we'll send them out in the golf cart of love as they take a tour around. And then for those of you who are invited for the reception, you can make your way down the south side of the building. There's a tent set up there. So glad on behalf of the Polads and Vandermasses that you were able to come. Grandparents, you can start making your way out. Meet Josiah and Morgan on the way out. But if just hang on to your seat, they'll come right back in. Thank you.